He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
So yes, even with all that, it was still a LeBron-focused operation. It's been that way was that way pretty much for a quarter of a century in the variety of places he's played basketball. There are human elements to just that not being the case anymore. And even if he's understanding, like, I think the other thing that's been put in those statements that have even been spoken on is, like, LeBron understands. Or at least it can be both sometimes. It can be, totally. This is a weird situation to deal with, but it's also like, well, Lucas's favorite player for a reason, right? You love, like, so you understand the caliber of talent he is. Plus, he's also 15 years younger, I think.
Yeah.
14, whatever. Mm-hmm. Young enough to the point where LeBron has real memories of life before Luke was even born.
Lucas could be LeBron's kid. You know, I love that point that you make there about, like, it's not mutually exclusive, that LeBron can feel a certain way about being ushered to stage left. Mm-hmm. But he can also understand it, right? Like, you know, if he was 26 years old, 27 years old, and the team that he was getting to had an older star, he would still expect to be the center of that team's universe. He has been the center of that team's universe, like you said, his whole professional and basketball life.
Well, my bet, but Miami, I mean,
yeah.
He had weight. He had weight. Like, Wade is, I mean, you talk to people in Miami, like, obviously they said, like, LeBron's the best player who's put on a Miami Heat jersey, but Wade's the greatest Miami Heat of all time.
Yeah.
And Wade was obviously years into his Miami Heat tenure, spent his entire career there. And when LeBron got there, like, obviously Wade was still important, but LeBron became the center of that. And they were closer in age, obviously, than much closer in age. They're more peers. Like, Luka and LeBron, like, they're peers, but they're also, like, LeBron's so much.
They're only peers because LeBron has held off Father Time in ways that, like, we've never seen before. Wade and LeBron were more naturally peers. Before, we were hoping that they would be rivals, right? Like, the reason I was kind of bummed that LeBron went to Miami, because I was like, no, I want to see those guys play against each other for, like, the next 5-6 years, and I want those matchups. And it turned out entertaining nonetheless, but the way that LeBron has handled this offseason, and it's funny, like, I've talked to other people about this on the show as well, about how, like, there's this entire industry devoted to kind of filling in the gaps with LeBron's tweets and hyperanalyzing his tweets and all this stuff. And it's like, he can't just like playing golf. He can, you know, I think, cause there was the hat that he wore that said, like, welcome home. Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And he was wearing that hat, and it was like, and he was playing golf in Cleveland or in the greater Ohio area. And you know, he's wearing this welcome home hat, and everybody flies off the handle talking about, like, oh, back home. He is home. Is that what that means? And then, you know, somebody in my mentions pointed out, like, no, that's his production company. That's his, like, that's what he's repping his company. But anyway, that's not going to stop the kind of speculation on that notion. I still get the sense that not only is it likely, obviously, he's going to be a Laker on opening night and probably at the end of the season, but I've also heard plenty of people close to the Lakers who say, like, yeah, we're anticipating probably re-signing him in some way, shape, or form after the season, if he decides he wants to play after the season. And, I don't know. I could kind of see that too. I don't know. I don't really know where else he would go. Or the Cavs are so far above the second apron that they can't really just sign people in the same way. And if they wanted to trade for him, they would have to trade half of their roster to get to a point where they can make a legal trade with the Lakers, which involves giving up even more players. So Cleveland's kind of tough. the Warriors keep on apparently knocking on the Lakers' door, hoping maybe, just maybe, but it's like he has like himself told them no on a couple occasions now that he doesn't want to go there. He doesn't want to go to Steph Curry's city. We saw how that worked out for KD. There was a lot of like speculation about Dallas, and maybe that makes some sense because AD is there and Kyrie is there and Jason Kidd, the guy that he would have wanted to be his coach originally when he got to the Lakers, is there now in Dallas. And maybe that makes some sense. But do you see him playing for a fourth city? Like, I just keep coming back to what you said first and foremost, that LeBron might be the best teammate that Luka may ever have with the Lakers. But then also, LeBron might not have many, or if any, better opportunities to win another championship on his way out the door from the league than playing with Luka on the Lakers. So I could see a world where, you know, LeBron gets to camp. They have a nice light opening schedule at the, you know, when the season starts, they rip off 8 of 10, and he kind of looks around. And he's like, this is actually kind of fun. I kind of like this. And then all of the summer, just kind of the speculation over the summer being just that, just speculation. But I want to talk really quickly about JJ, and you had a front row seat for JJ's first season as a head coach. As you mentioned, he's been almost like oddly quiet this summer, right? Given that the reason he got the gig is because he's a podcaster. But like I have found it really interesting that, that series obviously went really poorly. I thought he, had a pretty bad series in it. And a lot, I think, he has to take a real step forward as a second year coach here. And the stakes are pretty damn high now, coaching Luka and LeBron. How do you think he's going to handle this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, for JJ, this is a very important season, just from the standpoints of kind of like what I said about this may be like Luka, LeBron will be Luka. There's a very significant likelihood that LeBron is Luka's best teammate with the Lakers for his Lakers tenure. Like, this may be kind of going that. This may be the best duo that JJ gets to coach.
Yeah.
Just period, right? Between Luka and LeBron. And obviously, like, it's not just like star duo as a matter. Like, I've seen a good roster, but when you have those two, like, the expectations are to win beyond what they did last year. Like, the 50 wins was significant. The 3-seed was significant. But when you have that first round exit against Minnesota, it just puts a sour taste in everyone's mouth. So for JJ, like, he needs to reflect. Like, I'm sure he did. Just reflect on the ways he could have been better, reflect on the ways that, also adapting to this new roster that, you know, it's made some significant changes. I mean, I know some of what happened to end of last season was also the adjustments to the new reality of it's a Luka team. We don't have a starting caliber center anymore. We're going to have to use these small ball amps. Like, I think some of for JJ is going to be he's adaptable. And he's willing to change things. But I think as the season went on, that just wasn't as it wasn't as notable. So I think one thing that will need to happen is just being more adaptable. I think honestly, just having training camp, like, I think JJ is huge on preparation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where he can really thrive, just preparation, the details. And I think it's having a full summer and a full training camp to really, you know, flesh out the prep, flesh out the details, being able to communicate with Luka, LeBron, Austin down the line, Rob, being able to just communicate and figure things out. I think that's where he'll thrive. So even the schedule aside, and the schedule is soft to start.
I was really happy to see that.
Yeah. Like, I would expect, because of the way that JJ is and his nature, or what I've read from him or got from him over the past 14 months, I do feel like they are more inclined to have a strong start just because of just how much he puts into, like, the stuff that matters before the tip off, if that makes sense. Game planning, preparation, having all that buttoned up. So there shouldn't be mini games where they're like, they shouldn't be coming out slow. Like, shoot, last year they came out against a quote unquote tough schedule. Now we know that that schedule wasn't as tough, but in theory, it's supposed to be tough. And they start off 3-0. Obviously, they, you know, that road trip, whatever that was, late October, early November, didn't go their way, but they came out strong, looking good.
Yeah.
So I would expect
a strong start. They still had talent. Like, that's the funny thing about this team, even at the beginning of last season, was like, it's still a fairly, it was still a fairly talented team, and there were some pieces that made some sense together. And like, even before the Dorian trade, right? Like, when Max started starting and D'Lo was kind of handed the keys to the second unit, like, there was the makings of a pretty good team there. And then they trade for Dorian, and I thought they looked even better. I thought you can make the argument that they played better basketball after the Dorian trade than at any point, even after the Luka trade, you know, when again, it was Max starting and Austin was the kind of de facto point guard or whatever. And I thought they were kind of trying to find, they were starting to find or refine that identity from the 2019-2020 season of bigger, stronger, faster. And then obviously when you send out your only capable center in Anthony Davis and you bring back Luka Doncic, who needs a viable center to make it work. Like, yeah, it kind of made, I've kicked myself over the course of the summer for like not seeing how that series against Minnesota was always probably going to go, seeing as you had this giant front court in Minnesota going up against Jackson Hayes. So, I'm really curious how JJ's going to handle this. One thing that I'm really kind of looking for is a lot of longer standing coaches will use the regular season kind of like a training ground to try out new concepts and have more pitches to throw by the time you get to the postseason. JJ Redick seems more inclined to kind of maximize and optimize the pitches that he wants to throw in the off season or in the postseason. And it's going to be kind of interesting to see how those concepts are balanced, right? Like the notion of, racking up wins and stacking up wins and getting, you know, being the absolute best that you can be with the identity that JJ wants to play with. And that makes sense. You do want to develop that identity. But I also think that when you get to the playoffs, every team is going to do everything that they can to take you out of that identity. So what is your next step? What's plan B, C, D, E, and F when those teams do that to you? And I thought rather than have other pitches that he could throw, JJ just doubled and tripled and almost cartoonishly, right? Just played five guys in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. If we see that from him again, that would be a little worrisome is the word I was looking for.
Yeah. And I think to his defense, I think there is an acknowledgement, at least I'm not, like, I acknowledge that they had a very small window between like Luka making his debut. I think that was February 10th. And then LeBron getting hurt. Actually, was Rui get
hurt? Rui also got hurt.
Rui got hurt
Jackson.
Yeah, so I think it was Rui first, and then LeBron and Jackson, or some the three stars basically got hurt very early into, because it was like not too, it was around, I think Rui got hurt around the time that Dallas came to LA.
Yeah, I think the Doncic that they got was coming off of that calf strain, so he was like literally playing himself into shape while they were figuring out everything else.
Right. So even with that, like, you're trying to figure out like the Luka part, and even for maybe you get that for 3-4 weeks with Luka in the lineup alongside your other guys, then they get hurt. You have this really crazy March. Like, ridiculously jam-packed March because of the schedule. You're not playing all your guys in all those games. So, like, it was really not until I think it was, the Chicago game when LeBron came back. I think LeBron and Rui came back in the same game now that I'm thinking about
it. Yeah, that sounds right.
About right. So really that Chicago game on to the playoffs where JJ just could like actually cook, basically if you're a chef, like cook with all the ingredients that you need to make a great meal. And that's just not a lot of like that. If you ask any coach, every coach is like, I want my lineup, like I want my guys available for as much. That's not realistic. But to go from whatever that is, like late March through mid-April, and that's really the time you have with your actual team, like that's also not a lot. Like they were good moments for sure. Like that Memphis win in Memphis, a highlight of the Luka era, or even the one that they had over Houston to secure 50 wins, or even the one in Dallas, Luka's first game back in Dallas after being traded. Like there were good moments, but there wasn't anything sustainable just because they had, I want to say, fewer than 15 games. I want to say like 13 games of like actual games where they could use, you know, have their real starting lineup and have the depth behind it and really feel what they had. Like, yes, there were moments like, yes, things could be handled better, but I also acknowledge like there just wasn't a whole lot of time because of the trade, injuries not too long after the trade. And then you're looking at late March, like, all right, it's time to ramp up. Ramp up how? Like, we've just got together.
Yeah, we've been ramping up. Yeah. No, it's totally fair, and it's context that's worth to take into account, especially if people are looking for reasons to be optimistic about JJ Redick in his second year, that was anything but optimal situations or settings to kind of figure out how to coach. By the way, on the fly, your first time coaching ever at anything above like the junior level. Yeah, it was a really weird season, even by really weird seasons standards, which is a good way, I think, to define your time on the beat, right? Like, it's been, you're covering the weirdest team in the NBA during the weirdest stretch, I think, of or one of the weirder stretches of their history. We'll come back to that in a second, but I want to really quickly, what are your expectations, would you say, for this upcoming season? And this time I'm actually going to bring you on more frequently to hold you to talk about how your expectations are actually playing out. But where do you have your expectations set for this team? What would you consider a success or a failure?
Failure would be not qualifying for the playoffs outright.
Yeah,
honestly, like they should be a top five team in the West.
I
was gonna just say top four, but I'll give a little bit of wiggle room, just considering like I know they were number three. Yeah, I mean the rest, like OKC, Dallas, not Dallas, OKC, Denver, and Houston. Like it doesn't always work out this way, but those should be the top three, if not all top three. That should be three of the top four, top five.
Yeah.
So that's leaving two other spots for the top five. The Lakers should be one of those teams. Again, when you have Luka and LeBron, those are the expectations. Honestly, when you have those two, the expectations should be higher. But I'm also considering the field or the other teams. But Minnesota, Minnesota, I know in theory they may not be better. But yes, they knocked them out. Rather, it was – yes, some games were closer. Obviously, I think it was game three was just weird because Luka was sick, but game four, Luka's feeling better. And like, I think it was awesome. It's that corner three, like that game could have swung either way, but you know, they're back-to-back conference finals. Yes. They're Mike Conley's getting older. They lost,
Nikhil. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in theory, they may be worse, but I think top five finish in the West, I think that should be the expectation for the Lakers. Anything below that to me, is not a successful regular season. Obviously, they can be six and still make a run to wherever in the playoffs. But like to me, top five, really home court advantage in the first round. I could look at that as a success.
If they're like in that race for the play in, I would say something went wrong in the regular season. You know, I'm with you. Top five, I would say, is being kind of generous. You have Luka, you have LeBron, you have a center who makes some sense. You have, you know, like I actually have liked their offseason quite a bit. I like the LaRavia signing, and I like the fact that you could get Ayton and Smart without having to trade anything for those guys. Thiero is an interesting prospect. I think he's probably a year away from being a year away, but still, you know, like, and you have the assets, you have the expiring contracts, you have draft picks that you could move over the course of the season to take that next step as a roster as well. And that's something that I think they should be looking to do. Like you said earlier, this might be their best opportunity. You're not going to have Austin at this contract rate for, you know, after this season. You're not going to have DeAndre Ayton and Marcus Smart at their contract rates respectively for this season. Rui's going to be looking for a raise. Luka's extension kicks in next season. He's going to be more expensive. So this might be the time to really kind of go for it.
I was going to say, and if they do, and if they specifically with DeAndre and Marcus, and if they do have them on the roster beyond this season on similar salaries, that likely means they picked up the player options, which is not the best sign.
Yeah.
In terms of where they're at in their career. So that if they do that, I think that's also important to note.
Yep. All right. I want to have a little bit of fun with, you know, now your second season on the beat. But what's it been like? Like, what was your, did you have any like, okay, this is a little different type of moments? Like, has it been that different from covering teams earlier in your career? You came from, I believe, Orlando, right, before this?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, what was covering the Lakers like, or what's it been like here for the first couple of, how annoying is Dan, you know, and his dad jokes all the time? You know, when you're out there and you see everybody freaking out because they see Jovan the superstar, like, what's that experience like? Like, what's been your time on the beat been like?
Yeah, Jovan. You see, I gotta be careful being around Jovan because he has fans who just take pictures of him from the crowd. I'm just like, because we would sit next to one another, and I'll just be like, I have to be careful because your fans are just crowding our space. So just.
You can't yawn in the middle of a game because that yawn might make it to a social media picture. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't goof around and be playing a game on my phone during a game because someone's going to pay attention.
Stephen A. Smith found that out. Yeah.
You said that, not me. You said the name, not me. Thanks for dunking the alley-oop.
Yeah.
No, it's been hectic, to be honest with you, like these past two seasons. It's funny because when I think about it, like when I started, they were like the vibes were like immaculate, right? Like they're coming off the Western Conference Finals appearance. Everybody basically re-signed. Like the additions that they made were like it was the Jackson Hayes, Cam Reddish, Torian Prince, and Christian Wood. Like those were their free agents. Oh, and Gabe Vincent.
Yeah.
Like it was like low key, like lower key off season. The vibes were good, like all of this stuff. Quickly changed.
I always joke about that offseason because it was like everybody at Media Day was talking about continuity, running it back, building on what they did last year. And the only person who didn't get any of the emails was Darvin because he was like, you know, Torian is starting. All of those core like five or six guys from the previous season was like, yeah, we're gonna run it back. We're gonna build on this. Everybody was really excited to build on it, and Darvin was like, "No, we're going with a heavy dose of Cam Reddish in November and Torian Prince."
Well, I will say, at least in Darvin's defense, again, he was not the only coach who fell into the Cam Reddish starter.
Yeah. It's an annual thing.
It's something. There's something in the like. It's going to happen to another coach. It could happen to another coach this fall or this winter. But covering the Lakers has been different than like anything I've done before. Like I covered the Magic for a season and a half. I was the backup Miami Heat writer for a couple seasons. I've covered college sports. I've covered other like pro sports. Just different. The amount of attention. The amount of scrutiny. Everything feels so big in the moment, and like that's why I think it's important to contextualize things like after the fact. Like,
yeah,
I think it's important to note like how strong of an offseason the Lakers have had, because out goes the most important person leaving is Dorian Finney-Smith, most important player rather is Dorian Finney-Smith, but in comes DeAndre Ayton, Jake LaRavia, and Marcus Smart. If we said that was a trade, I think most people would be like, oh, that's a great trade for like, no, I feel like we should do that. And obviously they lost other like Markieff Morris and Alex Lynn, but in terms of just on court playing, I think it's important to know. I do think they're going to miss a player, a locker room presence like Markieff Morris.
Yeah.
But you know, you make the signings of Marcus Smart and a veteran player, DeAndre Ayton, Laravia, like you make those, you know, when you have the opportunity to do so. So, but just bigger picture, like it's been hectic, man. KM Aldridge, like it's been. Like it's gotten to the point where when I do my show for Bleacher Report, when I was on Jovan's show, there are people, and bullying works, by the way. There'll be people who are in the comments saying, you need to get some sleep, basically. And shout out to one of my friends. I think my girlfriend posted that on her Instagram, like the comments saying, you need some sleep.
Yeah.
And then like he sent me like some eye patches and he saw that on their store on Instagram and he sent me like amazing. The nighttime eye patches because it's like, yeah, I don't get much sleep during the season. It is a challenge too. I don't help myself, but like the seasons are jam-packed, they're crazy. Like, and I'm sure this one will be just because it's gonna be the first full Luka season.
Oh yeah.
First full Luka LeBron season, Austin. Like there's gonna be a lot to write about, a lot to chronicle, a lot to report. Like I already know that, but having these two seasons of just like this is a non-stop feeling to it. Like I do feel good about this upcoming season just because like I know to expect some wild stuff. Like yeah. The Luka trade was just like that was so crazy. I just remember the shock, and it took like 2 months to wear off.
Yeah, it's funny. I have my like office here in my house and Jen can always kind of tell when something happens. Cause I'll like look at my phone and just kind of go like, and she'll be like, what happened? And it'll be like, well, the Lakers sold or nope, they traded for Luka or nope, they did this, they did that. And she's just like, why can't they just be normal? Like, why can't they just, you know? And it's like, well, the fact that they aren't is why I can have an office in my house. But right. End of the day, you know, you win some, you lose some. But Kobe, you do phenomenal work, though. I truly say this as a compliment. Showing up to this beat and finding your niche and your voice in it as quickly as you have is really impressive. So it's been cool watching you grow within the beat and figure that out. And I promise I will be bugging you a lot more over the course of the season to come on here. Miriam made sure to say like, get Kobe on the damn show. So
that's a Miriam.
Yeah. So I'm going to fix that this upcoming season. Anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, not at this moment. I mean, if you know, especially as a season, we're about a month away from media day and media day flowing to training camp. So it's fast approaching. Fast approaching. But you know, and as we get closer to that time, I'll be having more stories come out. Right now on a bit of a pause with the show at Bleacher Report, but once that we get closer to the season, we'll be doing more shows with them. So just follow me on Twitter. If you can see my name, KHOBI, last name Price. I know it's spelled differently, but just remember that. Go on Twitter or X, rather. That's what we're calling it these days. You can follow me. It's the best way and easiest way to keep up with my work, whether it's Southern California News Group, Bleacher Report, or even show appearances like this one right here.
There you go. All right. Well, that was Kobe Price, again, of the OC Register and the Southern California News Group. Does great work. Make sure you guys are following it along. And also for Bleacher, you mentioned it in passing there, your shows with Bleacher Report. Is it the Lakers Insider show?
Yeah, Lakers Insider show, yeah.
So make sure you guys are tuned into that as well. And yeah, I think as far as our shows here for the rest of the week, I'm working with the Cambros on Locked On Lakers for a home and home kind of a deal. So keep an eye out for that. Hit that subscribe button, like button, all those nice buttons. And I will talk to you guys again tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you when I talk to you.